We're very glad to see you at the Gospel Service tonight, and we want to thank you for your presence with us. We're turning to the hymn 587 as we commence the meeting this evening. We're going to think about heaven in the Gospel message, so we're going to sing a little about heaven in the hymns as well. 587, shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing from the throne of God. 587, we'll stand as we sing, please. Together before the Lord, please lift our hearts to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we draw nigh to Thee in the attitude of prayer. We rejoice in the access that we have into Your presence. We want to pray that the Spirit will come and guide us and lead us and prompt us. Fathers, we're bowed before Thee. Our desire is to pray in the Holy Ghost. We want to pray the Spirit will come down. We plead that the Spirit will descend upon this gathering, Remember that the scriptures tell us a way at the beginning the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And Father, our prayer is the Spirit of God might move upon this gospel service tonight. We're conscious of what a difference that would make to this meeting and to the preaching of your word. We pray, Father, pour out your Spirit tonight in all his fullness, the fullness of his blessing, and in the fullness of his power. We rejoice in the great truths that we've been singing about together. And Lord, we thank you for all in the meeting tonight. And these words can be sung as their own personal testimony. We know that we'll gather one day at the river. We'll gather round the river of life. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We praise you tonight for your grace in our lives. We thank you for the day of our salvation. We thank you for the day of our physical birth. But Father, even more, we give thee greater praise for the day of our spiritual birth. We can say, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. And Lord, our burden tonight as we come to this gospel service is that all our family members would gather with us at the river. Lord, we want to plead tonight for our lost loved ones, those that are out of Christ, those, Father, that are on the broad road still, racing fast towards destruction, towards a lost eternity. Lord, our prayer is that you would arrest them tonight in their wild career. We want to pray that you'll turn them off that broad road onto the narrow road that leadeth unto life. We do, Father, lift up our families before thee. We remember what the scriptures tell us of the first family, of Adam's family, that it was a broken family circle, that Cain went out to the blackness of darkness forever. Lord, how solemn that is to think of a family member dying without Christ. We want to pray that you might impress that even upon our hearts tonight. O God, save us, we pray, from indifference. Save us from hardness. Save us, Father, from not being concerned about those that are out of Christ, those that are still lost, especially our families. O God, we ask that on that day that we stand before thee, that our family members will be there. We're conscious, Father, that there's nothing of this world that we can take with us to glory. But, Father, it's our desire to take our families. Lord, we would ask thee earnestly to that end to be gracious to us, that as the scriptures declare, we'll be able to say, when we stand before the Lord, here am I, and the children which thou hast given me. We remember, Father, the cry of Judah to Joseph when they stood before him, not knowing who he was in Egypt. How shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? And Lord, we think of going to heaven, standing before thee, and members of our family not with us. O God, we cried that you'll be gracious. We pray for the move of your Spirit. We ask that there'll be a work of God done in our family circles. Lord, we plead that you'll unite the family circles. We think of the words, will the circle be unbroken by and by? We ask, Father, earnestly tonight that might be so. We thank you for all that you've told us, revealed to us in your word about heaven. We thank you, Father, for drawing back the veil. We recognize tonight, acknowledge that all that we know of that other world, all that we know about eternity, Father, those that experience eternal life, those that experience eternal death, all that we know, Father, it's in your word. You've revealed it to us in the scriptures. We want to pray that you'll teach us just a little more tonight. We ask for the blindness to be taken away from our eyes. We pray, Father, anoint our eyes, even as we look into the book of God tonight. We think of the words that we sometimes sing, going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk in the golden streets of heaven, and to bask in God's own light. And Father, what a prospect. We praise thee for your mercy to us But Lord, we remember that some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare, and we cannot leave you lost and alone. We want you over there. And Lord, we're asking for those that are unconverted in this congregation, those that are unconverted listening into the service, those in our families, Father, those of our friends and neighbors that are out of Christ, we pray for a work of grace, a work of salvation to be done in their hearts and in their lives. Remember, Father, our gospel service as we confess and acknowledge the days in which we live, the famine of the hearing of the Word of God. There's not that ear, not that interest in coming to gospel services and hearing the Word of God, hearing the gospel being proclaimed that once there was. We recognize the blight and the famine, Father, that there is upon this land of ours. We thank you for every church that is open on this Sabbath evening to faithfully preach the everlasting gospel. And Lord, we thank you for every faithful servant of thine across the land who will declare the message of the gospel faithful to the blood and to the book. We ask thee, Lord, to own the cause of Christ across this land of ours. We pray, Father, that there would be that visitation of God upon the churches once again. Lord, we ask thee to remember the meetings here. We pray that you'll not just preserve the evening service, but that you'll bless it and prosper it. We pray that even among your own people, there might be a greater concern to be at the gospel service, to be at the house of God on a Sabbath evening, a greater burden for souls, the souls of family, the souls of friends, to bring them along to the house of God, to hear the message of the Word of God. Lord, we ask thee to give the increase in these evening services. We pray, Father, that you will prosper them. We pray for the presence, the power of God to be known upon them. We want to pray, Father, that they'll be soul-winning meetings. Oh God, save us. We pray from the barren times. Deliver us, we ask, from the barrenness of the days spiritually in which we live. Lord, we ask thee, help us amidst the challenges of these days to continue in the work of the gospel, to be faithful. We pray, Father, that we'll be faithful to the generation in which you've placed us. It says of David, he served his own generation according to the will of God and then fell asleep. And Lord, we're conscious that you place each of us in your sovereignty in different days, different generations, some placed in days of greater blessing. And Lord, we're found in this land, in this generation, a generation that has to be described, Father, as the Savior spoke of an adulterous generation, a wicked, immoral, sinful generation. But Lord, we pray, enable us to continue faithful to thee. Help us to continue in the work. Help us, Father, to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we just want, Father, to commit ourselves, the meeting, into your hands tonight. Come and bless our hearts. Come and touch our hearts. We ask in this gospel service. We want to pray, Father, that we'll be blessed tonight. We knew your blessing and presence last Sabbath evening. We thank you for that. And Lord, we ask that you'll come again upon the service tonight, if it please thee, in an even greater way. Answer these our cries in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing 592. There's a land that is fairer than day. By faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. 592, we'll keep our seats as we sing the three verses together, please.
Let's pray.
The 21st chapter of the book of the Revelation, please. We're almost at the end, the close of the Word of God in our reading tonight. The book of the Revelation, the 21st chapter. We're going to read the opening section of the chapter, and then we'll go down and we'll read the closing portion of the chapter as well. It's Revelation 21, the first verse. And let's hear the word of the Lord at our hearts tonight. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then we'll come down to verse 21 and read to the close of the chapter. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We'll end just there. And we know the Lord will add his blessing this evening to this, the public reading of his word. Thank you for your presence with us tonight. We're glad to see each one that has been able to join with us. We welcome you to the Lord's house. Welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus. We know that some are not able to be here tonight because of their circumstances. We miss those that are unwell. We pray the Lord will be with them. Keep his good hand upon them. We're thankful we're able to gather in the Lord's house in this manner tonight, especially for the preaching of the gospel. May the Lord be pleased to come again and prosper the preaching of the gospel in this land of ours. We're glad to welcome those that are watching on the live stream this evening. We acknowledge your presence with us in that manner. We thank you for taking the time to join us, and we pray that the service and the preaching of the gospel will touch your heart, and if you're not saved, that it might bring you to Christ tonight. Remember our meetings in the will of the Lord through the incoming week, the two bright hours Tuesday night at 6:45. Remember the meeting here in the church, and also the meeting down in Killalea in the band hall. We thank all of our workers and our labourers for the time that they give. I do make those meetings known, and as we were exhorted even on Wednesday night, pray much for the Lord's blessing to be upon them. Remember the midweek service, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, the church hall. We urge you to come. Remember what we were emphasising this morning, the importance of praying at this time, especially for the Lord's direction. But as we think of the future of the work generally, we want to be crying to the Lord for his blessing and his help. So come along on Wednesday night. I hope to be here to lead and to minister at that meeting. Friday night at 8 is the youth fellowship in the church hall. They're having a recreational night together. So we encourage all of the young people to come along and give their support to it. Next Lord's Day, the 5th of February, 10:40, the Sunday school and Bible classes, 11:30 the morning meeting. Remember, there is communion, the Lord's table, immediately after the morning service. Remember that and plan to wait behind and fellowship with us around the table of the Lord. 6:30 in the evening, the gospel service. It's the start of our testimony month. Testimonies every Sabbath evening through the month of February. Young Matthew McGill will testify and sing for us at that meeting. I hope to be here for both meetings. Preach at the morning service, lead the evening, bring a little challenge perhaps at the close of the service next Sunday night as well. Please remember the half hour of prayer before both meetings. Just to highlight the date of our election of office bearers, for those that haven't heard just as yet, Wednesday the 29th of March at 8 o'clock in the evening. We urge especially the communicant members to note the date and plan to be with us. The two special prayer meetings, additional prayer meetings leading up to that, on Monday the 13th, Tuesday the 14th. So that's just a couple of weeks before. We encourage you to attend as we pray for the Lord's direction. Remember the matter of membership. We stress that to you. Speak to us as soon as possible. Remember, we need to hear from you by Sunday the 26th of February at the latest if you would like to join before the election. Remember to take a look at all of the magazines and the literature on the tables as you leave. Just to highlight, as we did this morning, that the latest newsletter, the Mission Update from FAME, is available, covering the period of winter and spring. So remember to take your copy as you go from the service tonight. Hymn 599. There's our loved ones in the glory whose dear forms you often miss. When you close your earthly story, will you join them in their bliss? So 599, and we'll stand to sing, please.
You draw your name there, where it is.
to bow together just in a wee word of prayer. We'll seek the Lord's face. Father, we lift our families again before Thee. Thank You for the blessing of family members. And Lord, we ask earnestly that the family circle will not be broken by and by. What a mercy, what a great blessing that would be to have all the family gathered with us in the glory land. Lord, we ask Thee now to draw near to us. You've said, if we draw nigh to Thee, that Thou wilt draw nigh to us. That is the longing of our hearts. Lord, draw nigh to us in this meeting. We thank You for the prospect of heaven, to be with Christ for all eternity. Oh Lord, we think of the wonders, the glories of that place. Teach us a little of them tonight. But Father, Your word speaks about days of heaven upon the earth. And Lord, we would ask, give us a little time of heaven tonight in this gospel service. May the Lord be in the midst. May our hearts rejoice. May our hearts burn tonight while You talk with us by the way. We thank You, Father, for the security of our salvation, that You give unto us eternal life and we shall never perish. Lord, we're glad that by Your grace we can say tonight that we're assured of heaven, as if we were already there. Lord, we praise Thee for all You've done for us in Christ Jesus, our Saviour. And Lord, we pray that in the meeting tonight that You'll teach us, even as Your people, a little more of thinking of eternal things, setting our affections more on things above and not on things in the earth. So hear our cries. And Lord, we plead for the touch of God upon the preaching tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 21, please. We're going to turn to this portion for a little while tonight. Revelation 21, the verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." The theme tonight is what you won't find in heaven. We're going to look at a few of those things that are not in heaven. There was the story told of a little girl, taken out into the country for the first time. It seemed to be the first opportunity that little one was given to view the expanse of the heavens on a starry night. Looked up and saw the brightness of the stars, was captivated, taken by it, declared to her mother, "If heaven is so beautiful on the wrong side, what must it be like on the right side?" And isn't it always the children that seem to be able to capture truth sometimes in a way that we never dream of, we never think of? Heaven on the wrong side, it looks wonderful, looks beautiful, but what must it be like on the right side? I stress to you, men and women, heaven is a beautiful place. In fact, it's a wonderful place. The reality is tonight that we could not fully or adequately describe it. The Bible says of the Savior and His salvation, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. It's hard to fully speak of and give description to Christ and all that He has done for us. And the same is true of heaven. We cannot fully describe it. We could borrow the words of Paul to the Corinthians, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things the Lord hath prepared for them that love Him." Can I highlight for you those words are not speaking about heaven? Sometimes that is what is thought. That is the interpretation that is given to them. They're speaking about the blessings of the gospel, of all that the Lord has given to us and bestowed upon us when we receive Christ as our Savior. That is evident if you read on. Remember the importance of reading verses in their context in the Scriptures. It says, "God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." That is not true of heaven. If God has revealed them to us now, It's something that we have experienced, something that we have knowledge of here in this world. So that's why I say to you, we have borrowed the words of Paul to the Corinthians, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." Heaven is an indescribable, even an unimaginable place. And one way that we can emphasize the wonders, the glories, the beauties of heaven is to consider the things that are not there, things that are common in this world, in this life, things that we're all familiar with, things that we encounter regularly as we make our pilgrimage through this world, things that you won't see in heaven. That's what I want us to consider, and that's what this passage is speaking about and talking about this evening. You'll notice, first of all, there's no sea in heaven. We find that at the end of verse 1, and there was no more sea. Just think for a moment of how much of this world actually is sea. The fact is that more than two-thirds of the surface of the earth is covered by the oceans. Approximately 70% of the earth's surface is covered by the seas. Why is that? Why is there so much water? Well, remember that it is as a consequence of Noah's flood, the judgment of God, when he judged this world by water. So the sea is vast. The sea, men and women, is great. You get some comprehension of that whenever you travel to other lands. Remember that one of the things that the sea does is it divides. The sea separates. The sea separates nations. Sometimes, because of circumstances, it separates families and loved ones. Do you know the old song, "My bonnie lies over the ocean, my bonnie lies over the sea"? There's the idea there of the division, the separation, the loved one, the sweetheart that is so far away, divided by the ocean. The sea separates men and women. But let me emphasize for you tonight, in heaven, there is no sea, because in heaven there is no separation. In that land, in that other world, there we will meet, depart no more. Just think of the beauty, the blessing of that truth, of that reality. We're going to meet there, and we'll meet there, depart no more. If you read Acts chapter 20, Paul was at Miletus. If you've ever been in the west coast of Turkey at Kusadasi, the port of Kusadasi, it's not far from Ephesus. Ephesus is maybe an hour or so to the north. Just south of Kusadasi, along the coast, there's a place called Miletus. That's what Paul was speaking about, or that's where Paul was. One of the places that he came to in his journey as he's making his way to Jerusalem. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus to call the elders of the church. It was going to be a farewell meeting. And it was quite a sad meeting. You can read the story, read the details, the closing verses of Acts chapter 20. It says that they wept sore. They were gathered on the beach. They were standing on the sand. Paul was getting ready to board the ship to carry on his travels. And they were gathered round. And it says that they wept sore, that they shed tears. It was a tearful parting. And the Bible says that they sorrowed most of all for the words that he spake, that they would see his face no more. Just think of that. Think of how difficult that must have been for those Ephesian elders. The apostle had been the man under God that had founded, planted the church there. He had nourished it. He had built them up in the faith of the gospel. He had seen that church well established. In fact, through his ministry there at Ephesus, the Bible says that the whole of Asia, that whole part of Asia Minor, that the whole of Turkey, the western part, especially of Turkey, heard the gospel. So what a ministry that he had. And he was telling them as they stood there on the sand at Miletus that day, that they would never see him again. They'd never see his face. They would never have another meeting here upon this earth. You can imagine the heartbreak, the sorrow, why they wept sore, and they sorrowed most of all for the fact that they would see his face no more. But brethren and sisters in heaven, when we meet in heaven, there will be no tearful partings in the glory land, in the land that is fairer than day. Heaven is a place of no separation. You'll not be separated from saved loved ones. Here, death comes and takes our loved ones from us. Those that know the Lord, it separates us from them and takes them to heaven. They go on a little while before us. Remember, if you're out of Christ, let me stress it, if you ever want to see that loved one again, then you need to come and put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So in heaven, we'll not be separated from saved loved ones. And in heaven, we'll not be separated from the Savior either. Now we are separated from him. Remember in the reading, the passage this morning, the emphasis is upon his ascension, that he has ascended up to heaven. He's seated at the Father's right hand on high. But in heaven, men and women will be with the Savior and will never be separated from him. Then we will be with him forever. Remember the words of the New Testament that we're so familiar with. So shall we ever. Just think of that, the extent of it. Eternity with Christ. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So there's no sea in heaven. There's no separation. What a blessing. What a prospect. Just take a moment to let that settle into your heart and your mind. What a comfort we have as believers from that great truth. No sea in heaven. There's no sin in heaven either. You find that at the other end of the chapter, right in verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Isn't it true, men and women? The world in which we live is a dark place. Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We do well that we take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. That's a description of this world. It is a dark place. Remember what the Word of God records of the days of Noah, the days before the flood. The wickedness of man was great in the earth. Remember the Savior prophesied and said the days of Noah would come again before his second coming. Well, those days are here. We can see the days of Noah. So it is today, men and women. The wickedness of man is great upon the earth. Things are not getting better. Things are getting worse as the months and years go by. And that's what the Word of God foretold. We should be comforted tonight as we consider the Word of God and the faithfulness and truthful of it as we see events unfold before us. Because Paul said to Timothy, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Isn't it true that crime and violence is reaching new levels? Just think of what we heard about our own land and our own province over the Christmas time. Those that died as a result of acts of violence, acts of crime. Think of the immorality that is all around us, reaching new heights. You think of the laws that have been passed and forced upon our land that is permitting immorality of the grossest kind in the days in which we're found. Isn't it true that we're no longer shocked when we hear the news and the deeds of men and the things that are done? That this is a dark place. We live in a wicked world. But men and women, in heaven there is no sin. Heaven is a place that is pure, completely pure. Heaven is a place that is holy. Heaven is a place that is undefiled. There are many references in the scriptures that speak about that. And the psalmist said or spoke about his holy heaven. What a contrast from this world in which we're found. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, when he was praying, speaking to the children of Israel, he implored the Lord, look down from thy holy habitation. That can't be said of any place in this world at this time, that it's a holy habitation, a holy dwelling place. But it's true of heaven. No sin has, or no sin ever can enter into heaven. It could be described as a sin-free zone. You think of what Eden was like before the fall. Sinless, perfect environment. And so is heaven, men and women, such as heaven. Dr. Joseph Parker labored in London in the days of C.H. Spurgeon. They were friends, contemporaries. Parker had a very large congregation too. Maybe not as large as Spurgeon's, but at least 2,000 people gathered with him every Sabbath day. A friend of his, another colleague in the ministry, Dr. Dawson, came to visit him. They spent a little time fellowshipping together in the garden. Dr. Dawson was going to be traveling out to the Middle East. He was going to visit Israel. He described it as going to visit the Holy Land. And Dr. Parker, sitting for a moment thinking of what his friend was saying, he lifted his hand heavenward and he said, my Holy Land is there, up there, away beyond the clouds. And how true, men and women, that perception, that comment is. Just to highlight, it's not wrong to speak about Israel as the Holy Land. In fact, in the Word of God, Zechariah chapter 2, it says, the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land. One of the reasons why it's called the Holy Land is because most of the events of the Bible took place in that land. It sets it apart in that regard. Mr. Douglas, many years ago, you know that he's been to Israel many times. One of the parties that he took, in one of the places they were at the Dead Sea, actually, at the time, the changing rooms. One of the members of his party was robbed, and he came out to Mr. Douglas, as you can imagine, very upset, and he said, I thought this was the Holy Land. And Mr. Douglas said back to him, not yet, my friend. So the reality is, men and women, the only Holy Land is the Holy Land above. Remember, when you're saved, when you come to Christ, it means you're saved from sin. You're saved from the power of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're saved from the penalty of sin. That's what we're focusing upon tonight. The penalty for sin is death. Those that die without Christ experience eternal death. They go to hell. We're thinking of those that are saved from the penalty of sin and entering into the fullness of eternal life, going to heaven to be with Christ. But remember that ultimately, we will be saved from the presence of sin. When the Lord calls us from this world, calls us from this scene of time to be with him in heaven, then we will be saved from the very presence of sin itself. Naught that defileth shall ever enter therein. No sin in heaven. Remember too, for your comfort tonight, there's no sickness in heaven. Look at verse 4 of the chapter. It says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It's something that's common with humanity. All of us here tonight, we've all been sick. We've all experienced ill health, infirmity of some nature of varying degrees throughout our lifetime. We've all had to go and see the doctor. Most, if not all, at some time have had an appointment even at the hospital. All of those things reinforce for us men and women that sickness, bodily infirmity, is a reality. It's a great problem in this world in which we're found. Think of the health service. Think of the health service in our country at present. What we hear in the news of the strikes, our health service is in a crisis at present. It employs thousands of people, costs millions upon millions, even billions to run every year. You only have to go to the hospital yourself Drive into the car park. Try to park your car. Try to find a place to park. And it presents you, it confronts you with the size, the vastness of the problem, the number of people that are in need of medical attention. So it's a problem. The problem of the NHS. It's constantly in the news. It's being dealt with by our politicians, or maybe some might say today it's not being dealt with by our politicians. But it reminds us, men and women, it all emphasizes and stresses for us pain and sickness is a great problem in this world. It's a great problem in this life in which we're found. But be encouraged tonight, because there'll be no health problems in heaven. There'll be no health problems, men and women, in eternity. Heaven is a place that is free from pain, free from illness. It's a place where there are no doctors. All doctors are redundant. It's a place where there is no hospitals. Hospitals are not needed. Sickness may trouble you here in this world, but in heaven, men and women, it will trouble you no more. And remember that those that know the Lord, those that go to heaven, those that know Christ, that are in Christ, at the resurrection, whenever the Savior comes again, he's going to give us a glorified body. He's going to give to us a body that is perfect. In the New Testament, Paul writing to the believers at Philippi said, he's going to change this vile body, and he's going to make it like unto his glorious body. Isn't that tremendous? Oh, that the Lord would give us tonight spiritual discernment just to grasp the fullness of that. What a prospect there is. Fanny Crosby, the well-known American hymn writer. Remember that there was another hymn writer on this side of the Atlantic that is so well known to us, the two Fannies that corresponded with each other. But Fanny Crosby wrote at least 8,000 hymns and poems. She was blinded when she was just 6 weeks of age. She was never bitter about it throughout her life. On one occasion, a minister came to see her. They were in conversation. And he said to her something like this: It's a pity when the Lord blessed and bestowed so many gifts and talents upon you that he didn't give you the gift of eyesight as well. She was a little taken back at the response, or he was a little taken back at the response that Fanny Crosby gave to him. She said, you know, if I had had one request at birth, it would have been this: to have been born blind. He couldn't really grasp that, and I'm sure we couldn't either. She said the reason was this: because when she got to heaven, the first face that she would ever see would be the face of Christ, the face of our lovely Savior. You know, sometimes when you know a little of a person's background, especially the hymn writers, the circumstances, it helps to give greater depth of meaning to the words that they wrote. She penned those words: when my life's work is ended and I cross the rolling seas. And the chorus says, I shall know him by the nail prints in his hand. The first face she thought she'd ever see would be the face of her Savior. Dr. George Truett, remember Truett was the pastor for over 40 years of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. He went one day to visit a sick man. And the doctor had told him there was no hope of recovery. The doctor told him that he'd only a little time to live. But as Dr. Truett spoke with him, sought to support and comfort him, the man said to Dr. Truett, it'll be better in the morning. Well, Truett couldn't just understand what the man was thinking about or what he meant by that, because he knew he wasn't going to get better at all, was never going to recover. What happened was this: the next morning early, Dr. Truett got the message that that dear brother had died, gone to be with Christ. And when he got that news, he remembered what the man had said. And then he realized the meaning of the words that the man had uttered. The man was with Christ, his sickness, his sorrow, his pain. All the struggles of this life were over. It was better in the morning because he was in that place where there is no pain and that place where there is no sickness. No sickness in heaven. Let me mention just one more to you as we close. There's no Satan in heaven. One of the terrors of hell is to be with the devil and his angels. Just think of how terrible and awful that will be. Remember that originally Satan was Lucifer, the chief cherub in heaven, and he was cast out. The Savior said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Why was he cast out? Well, because of pride. Nicholson said that pride dug hell and damned the devil. But men and women, there is no Satan in heaven. No wicked, evil fiend. On earth, there are many sacred places into which you can enter. Just think tonight that the devil can enter into a church service such as this. Do you remember the words that were recorded in the book of Zechariah of Joshua the high priest, that he was standing before the Lord and Satan at his right hand to resist him? It's not a sobering thought. Standing in the very presence of God, the high priest of Israel, carrying out his sacred responsibilities, and there standing beside him, opposing him, hindering him, resisting him, was Satan himself. Remember, that word means that he's the adversary, and he's the adversary of God's people, the adversary of God's work. So when we come to meetings like this, we need to remember that, keep that in mind, that there are many sacred places in this world into which Satan can enter, but he cannot enter into heaven. In heaven, men and women, we're going to be with Christ. So what a difference. What a contrast that is. You think tonight of the question, what is heaven? There's many answers that you would give, many answers that we all would give, statements that we would make. But let me assure you tonight, heaven is not the streets of gold, and we've read about them in this passage. Heaven is not the gates of pearl, and again, those have been highlighted in the Bible reading tonight. It will be great, it will be tremendous. It will be awe-inspiring to see those things. But heaven, men and women, is this: to be with Christ, to be in his presence. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also." Isn't that tremendous? That he wants us to be with him. In his great high priestly prayer, and Robert Traill, the Puritan, if you get the two volumes of his work, he has about 16 or 18 sermons on these words. "I will that them also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold of my glory." So just think, that's what Christ is praying with regard to you, dear believer. And that's a prayer that the Lord answers, and he answers it every day, because there are believers that are called away to be with Christ. "I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." Isn't that tremendous to think? Christ wants you to be with him in his presence in heaven. That's the portion of the redeemed. Can I ask you tonight, in the gospel service, will it be your portion when you go from this scene of time? So things that won't be in heaven, things that are not in heaven, no sea, no sin, no sickness, and no Satan. You think, men and women, tonight, the place that doesn't have these things that we have considered, how wonderful that place must be. We speak of the land of the blessed, of that country that is so bright and so fair, and after its glories confessed. But oh, what must it be? What must it be to be there? Alma McAllister, the missionary to the Congo, in giving her testimony, would tell of her dear saintly mother, godly woman knew the Lord, died at a young age when Alma was still a girl, maybe only a teenager. She gathered the family around her deathbed and spoke to them of the things of God. And she emphasized this to all her children: I want you to meet me in heaven. That was something Alma never forgot. The Lord wrote it upon her heart. And we say that to you tonight, men and women. We want to meet you in heaven. We want you to be with us. Some of you are out of Christ, held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you. We want you over there. We sang the words, there are loved ones in the glory, whose dear form you often miss, relatives and loved ones that have gone on before you. But when you close your earthly story, when your life comes to an end, will you join them in their bliss? Are you going to heaven to be reunited with them in that glory land? There was a young lad many years ago. He had been born blind. The doctors, when he got a little older, they brought him to the hospital. They made preparation to carry out some surgery in his eyes to give him sight. His family had spoken to him as he was growing up about the things that they could see, about the things that were all around. Sometimes we take those things so much for granted. Whenever they took the bandages off his eyes when the appropriate time came and everyone held their breath, the doctor was waiting to see if the operation had been a success and he had got his sight. He could look around him. For a little time, things were somewhat out of focus, and then when they came into focus for them, he was amazed at what he could see. The things all around him, the colours, the shapes, the things that he was astounded at. And he said to the family, he to some extent gave him a little gentle rebuke, you didn't describe these things as well as you could have. You could have given a better description of them. And their response was this: I tried to, but you just had to see it for yourself. And that's how it is, men and women, with us, as far as heaven is concerned. We can try, and we have tried, to give a little description tonight of what heaven is like. But you'll just have to see it for yourself. It'll be a wee bit like what the Queen of Sheba said when she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to see the glory of Solomon. She said, the half was not told me. And that's how it'll be for us. That will be our response when we get there. The half, men and women, was not told us of the glories, the beauty, the happiness and blessedness of that place. Can I ask you, just in closing, unsaved person, what of you tonight? Are you going to heaven? Do you want to know the way to heaven? Remember, it's in the good news of the gospel. You need to confess your sin and turn from it and then receive Christ personally as your Savior. Unsaved person tonight, think of the struggles of this world, the struggles of this life. Think of all the trials and the tribulations. Why so much suffering, men and women? Why does the Lord allow us sometimes to come through so much suffering? Well, one answer to that is this: to make us long a little more for heaven. I'll finish with this. Mr. Moody, there's a little book of his illustrations. He tells the story of a lovely Christian lady who was confined to her bed, very poor, in the days in which he lived in America, the 19th century. She was in what was he would have called a fifth-floor garret. It's just like a little attic room. There was a Christian lady that Mr. Moody knew that often visited with the lady that was confined to her home. And every time she went, her heart was blessed, despite her sickness, despite the fact that she couldn't leave her home, the limitations on her movements, despite even the very humble surroundings in which she found, it was just like a breath of heaven, they said, coming into her little room to see her. So one day, this lady brought a very wealthy lady. She thought it would do her good to come and visit the lady that was confined to her bed. The very wealthy lady, when they came into the first floor, it was dirty, it was smelly, She was a little worried about her dress. Remember, in those days, they wore dresses right down to the ground. So she pulled her dress up a little to save it from getting dirt on the hem. And she complained about the conditions. But the lady that was leading her up to where the sick lady was, she said, "It'll be better up higher." And she didn't know at the time just the full extent of the meaning of those words. So every floor, things got worse. The smell, the dirt. Until they got to the fifth floor into the little apartment, it was a little bit of a contrast. Lovely mat on the floor, some flowers in the window. And there, in radiance of joy, in the midst of all of those extreme circumstances, was that dear Christian lady. And the rich woman said to her, "I'm sure you find it very difficult living here in these circumstances, day by day." And the response that that lady gave was, "It'll be better up higher." That's where the other lady had heard the words. She had often heard them repeated by the Christian lady that was ill, confined to her bed. And men and women, that's how it is. That's how it will be. There's all the trials, all the struggles, all the difficulties of this world, the fiery trial that we have to pass through. We've seen a little tonight of the glories and the blessedness of heaven. Remember, she passed through all of those difficulties and the heartbreaking circumstances. It'll be better up higher. It'll be better, men and women, when we are called from this scene of time and we're called home to glory and we're called to heaven to be with Him forevermore. We'll sing a verse or two of the hymn 609. "Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through tests of time." 609, we'll sing the first and last. "In life's eventide at twilight, at His door I'll knock and wait, and by the precious love of Jesus, I shall enter heaven's gate." So verses 1 and 4 of 609, please. Father, we lift our hearts in thankfulness to Thee for the blessing we've known tonight, Your presence with us. We thank You for the hearing there's been in this place for the Word of God. We thank You for the going forth of Your Word. We ask Thee, Father, to bless it tonight and prosper it. We pray that the seed that has been sown, that it will fall upon good ground, bear fruit. We ask unto eternal life. Lord, help us to ponder more upon these things. Remember, Mary pondered all these things in her heart. Lord, help us to do that. Help us not to be taken up so much with this world and the things of this world. Lord, help us to ponder and meditate more upon the things of that world that is yet to come. And our cry, Father, is that all who are here will know Christ. All in our families will have that prospect that one day they will enter through the pearly gates into the land that is fairer than day. Go with us now, Father. We ask thee to spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's loved abode, our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.